Rarely has mankind hesitated to eradicate the creatures that stand in the path of his conquest. If we find
greetings, ladies, gentlemen, government agents, middle of nowhere gas station workers, and anybody who might be listening. This is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. Still here, still kicking. I am your host, Tasker, and we have the newly moved, now once again remote, Nick.
I did it. I made it through a 10-hour drive behind a U-Haul, my back, my pussy and my crack. Everything hurts. Dude, I am in so much pain right now. Still, this was 2 days ago and my back is still messed up. I think it has a lot to do with the unpacking and the heavy lifting. And right. You know what I mean? But look, I made it. I have my own basement. I'm sitting in a basement right now. I'm going to, from now on, call it the dungeon. All right.
Yeah.
So when I say the dungeon, it's the basement.
And this is, of course, the aforementioned personal man cave you've now... that's now fallen into your possession that we did find out there is a window in there. So that's so we know that you can't hide your bodies.
Well, I could. There's shades. I can like close the blinds.
Yeah.
It's technically below ground. So they'd have to like be trying to look in my window. And if they're trying to look in my window, that's free game right there. I'm just going to pull them through the window. You know what I mean? And they're in the dungeon. So.
Yep. And then that's a fat F in the chat for them.
Ooh. Oh, it's nice. It's nice to have a man cave. I have a gaming PC set up in the corner along with my work stuff. Yes, listeners, I do have a full-time job. This is not my full-time job. I got guitars I don't play over here on this side.
I need to point out that Nick bought, a Gibson, right?
Yeah, SG.
Yeah, for like what? Definitely over $1,000 for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, easily. It was almost $2,000.
And when you did it, because you know I have a soft spot for guitars, you were like, hey, man, it's going to be sick. And you know how I am with money. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give you one exception on this stupid purchase, only if you promise me you will play it. It has now been 3 years and you haven't touched it.
Nope. It looks damn good, though.
Oh, my God. This is just the most expensive corner decoration you've ever bought.
Yeah, that was a bad move on my part. I'm better with my money nowadays. I was a different man 3 years ago. So,
yep. But now you're a new and improved man who still has a sick guitar.
Hey, that's the whole point. Dude, you know how much puss I can get with this thing? I don't even have to play it.
Dude, honestly, like even I was like, hey, man, like, are we doing anything tonight?
Oh, but yes, I am moved in. It's official. I am gone. No longer in California. So I know it's been a bumpy ride. At least Tasker and I got to record the last few episodes in person. That was nice. But we are back to FaceTiming. So here we are.
And what better way to kick out a brand new home where you don't know what's haunted and what's not yet by talking about something spooky?
Yes. Good transition. Very good. Sleep paralysis. You guys saw the title. You know what month it is. It's October, right? We're talking about creepy things, not necessarily cryptids. We're not talking about our usual alien shit. It's October. We got to talk about creepy stuff. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, we got to talk about our horoscopes because I need some hope right now. I need some hope, some financial hope.
me too.
Let's see what the stars have aligned for us. Do you want me to go first on this one, Tasker?
Yeah, you've now christened your new home. You have earned the right to go first.
All right, let's see what we got here. So, stimulating conversations could take place with partners of all sorts. Cancer, from business to exercise to romantic. Aww. Some new and useful information could come your way that you will want to explore further. This is a great day to execute legal papers or enter into any kind of agreement or commitment. It's a good time to sign up for an online class or workshop. Make good use of the energies of today. Huh.
Well, I guess one could say getting that new house and mortgage is a contract.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Interesting. I would say it's a little late, but it's also kind of relevant. Mm-hmm. The divorce is going well, so that's also
good for you, man. That's a nice that you're so positive.
No, but yeah, I'd say it's fairly accurate. It's a little late, but accurate. I'm going to make good use of the energies of today. You know, there's not much of my day left. It's like 3 p.m. here, but I can make use of it.
I think so. Yeah, you got some daylight, though. It is becoming winter soon. So, soon it'll be nighttime at like 5.
Ugh. Well, actually, I kind of like the night, so that's fine.
Yeah, there's ups and downs. I'm going to miss the sunlight, but, it's kind of cool when you get a, party earlier, I think. Question.
Yeah. Mark. Hey, when the sun goes down, the bottles go up. That's my motto. So.
Not a bad one.
What's your saying today, buddy? Is it how's it looking?
All right, let's see. Your mind will be especially quick and active today, Scorpio, and you're likely to want to spend as much of the day involved in intellectual activities like reading, writing, or teaching. Communication with others should be a powerful part of your day, so you will probably spend time on the phone. All right. You will want to write down many of the ideas you hear. You will find most of them interesting and will want to remember them.
How's that feeling? I mean, it's pretty, as far as I know, it's pretty accurate. From your
yeah, take. I just want to say to our viewers, like, no, this is my actual podcast. My actual horoscope. We didn't write this specifically for the podcast to advertise us. I love this subject that we're getting into because I think the study of like dreams and like it's one could argue that's like the biggest connection between like the living world and like the world of spirituality and whatever the hell might be out there. By the way, I did notice there's a little star ratings for my general mood for the day, and sex is a 3 out of 5 for me.
How is that? Is that good for you, or?
I think that means it's just if I do have sex, which my girlfriend's not here, so that would be probably a bad thing, but it would be very average.
Yeah, that would be not good if you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does it count like if like you put your wiener in like, I don't know, like a cutout watermelon? Technically, that could count.
No, man, I consider that creative masturbation. I think you're fine.
Right. Well, then I'll just look over to the slight right and see that I have a 4 out of 5 on the hustle today, which is good because I'm on the home stretch of my freelance gig.
Oh, good. You know what? Actually, I have a 3 out of 5 sex and a 4 out of 5 hustle as well. What's your vibe, dude? My vibe is 4 out of 5 stars, bro.
Whoa, man.
I'm vibing today, dude.
That is crazy, dude. Nah, I'm 3 out of 5. I'm at an even vibe today.
That's a decent vibe, but my success is 2 out of 5 stars. Yep.
3 out of 5, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
Nice. Well, probably my vibe is down because we're talking about sleep paralysis, one of the most terrifying things that could happen to somebody if it has happened to you.
Yes. Tasker the Scaredy Cat is October is his favorite month because I torment him the entire time. So he's looking forward to this episode. He's looking forward to this episode. This is one of those topics where it freaks him out, but he's interested in it. And that's my favorite kind of topic for him. Yeah. So with that being said, welcome back. All right, to another spooky October episode of Close Encounters. And to continue our horror subject matter this month, this episode, like we talked about, will be all about the terrifying experience that is sleep paralysis. All right, so what I want you guys to go ahead and do right now, and not just the guys, the girls too, right? I can't be exclusive. That's rude.
Right.
What I need everybody listening to do, whether you're non-binary or if you don't have a gender or if you identify as like a granite rock, I don't know. Look, what I need you to do is I need you to slip into bed. But I don't care what time it is, bro. It could be like 1 in the afternoon. Slip into bed, put your pajamas on, you know, get like a little cup of warm milk, you know, start sipping on it, get a little cozy, put your headphones on, listen to our sensual voices, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Give him a little taste of that voice, Tasker.
Oh yeah. You will not be sleeping a wink tonight after hearing what we have to say.
Beautiful. Yeah. So go ahead and put your earphones on for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Get under the covers. And I just want you to like slowly drift off while you're listening to our sultry, melodic voices. What's behind you?
Holy shit!
Oh my god. Oh.
That scared me. I actually didn't know you were going to do that.
Okay, well, without further delay, let's go ahead and just dive right into this topic that is sleep paralysis.
Might as well.
So first, let's begin by talking about what sleep paralysis is, and I'm doing a general overview here, okay? The mainstream definition of sleep paralysis is a state during waking up or falling asleep in which a person is aware but not able to move or speak. And during an episode, one may hallucinate, hear, feel, or see things that are not there, which often results in fear, naturally.
Usually.
And these episodes of sleep paralysis can either be a one-time event that someone experiences, or it can be recurring, which sounds like fucking hell on earth if it's recurring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we'll get into like experiences and stuff like as we get into the meat of it. But like, if you know, and I'm sure, because this is a fairly common occurrence, surprisingly, so there's a chance you've probably met somebody, unless you don't like people, in which you probably have never heard the story. But this stuff is crazy. It's literally like nightmare hell on earth.
It's terrible. We know somebody who has this. Like, I've never experienced it myself.
Yeah.
Have you experienced it?
I had two mild experiences about it. The first one was I had it. It was the first and only time I ever fell asleep with my eyes open. And it was weird. But what had happened was because I was just like I was sick. And so I was taking like a rest and just kind of laying there. And I didn't realize my body started falling asleep. And it looked like my clock turned into like a crow or like a bird. And then like, I just like knocked out. So that was not that bad. The other one was I was living in the dorms. And basically it was nothing. I never really got like visuals or something like that. But basically I knew I was awake, but I could not move. And I knew about sleep paralysis. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking open my eyes. And then finally, when I started to be able to move, I was too scared to open my eyes still because I was like, fuck, what if there's still something there? But you definitely feel like somebody's watching you, which was super creepy. And what actually finally got me out of bed was I actually had to piss like three racehorses who just chugged 3 gallons of water. And I was like, fuck it. It's either I'd be brave or I wet the bed, and I had a roommate, so I wasn't about to do that. So yeah, so that got me out of bed, and I opened my eyes, and there was nothing there. So I was basically fully awake, and so I've never seen like any of like the demons or the stuff. I definitely felt the whole like thing watching me, like that kind of like it's just this weird dread that you get. Like, I don't know. And like I said, that was just a mild symptom. I can't even imagine like what dealing with the real deal must be.
Yeah, dude, that's freaky. Like, even just those experiences are freaky. I've never had to deal with that shit, but that's because my mind is solid, right? And my mind cannot falter to such degrading actions by the demons, you know what I mean? But we know somebody who has really bad experiences with sleep paralysis, so we've heard some of the stories, and it sounds pretty terrible. So the fact that it could be recurring is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Like, just a quick brief one. A friend of mine's dad had sleep paralysis, and basically he saw just a big black horned figure come into his room and start strangling him.
Hell yeah.
So he just started like swinging and throwing hands left and right until it stopped. And like, yeah, it can. We'll get more into it. But yeah, you could definitely see some shit, some real shit.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Now, it's important to point out here that sleep paralysis can actually happen to anybody, right? It can happen to people who are completely healthy with no health issues. It can happen to people with narcolepsy, which is just imagine first having narcolepsy and then every time you do nod out, you have sleep paralysis.
That sounds like the literal worst existence you could ever possibly have.
But all that being said, you might be concerned, listener, if you can get sleep paralysis. And I would be too, because It is one of my nightmares, no pun intended, to have sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I also do got to point out, narcolepsy doesn't mean you just kind of nod off randomly, because that's a Hollywood trope. Narcolepsy,
yeah.
Yeah, that's where narcolepsy is. You do sleep at really bizarre times of the day and you're just constantly tired and stuff like that. So it's more like a disorder of just like a constant need to fall back asleep all throughout your day versus just like randomly just being like thud. And then now you drive off the side of the road.
I remember when we used to just call that depression. Now they call it narcolepsy. Nice.
Love 2020, huh?
Yep. Awesome. There are some triggers that you can keep an eye out for if you're very concerned about getting sleep paralysis. So if you're trying to avoid it, here's just a couple things. And there are some more that we're going to get into detail with later, but here's a few. All right. And the first one is sleep deprivation. That's an obvious one. And let me tell you, for the last 3 days, all right, with the move to another state and the unpacking and then the settling into a new house and not being able to sleep well, I'm not like completely sleep deprived, but I have not been sleeping well at all or for long periods of time. So that's worrying for me.
Do you ever like sleepwalk or something like that? Or is that a thing you do or like thrash?
You know, every once in a while I'll wake up in the morning with like bruises and I'll be covered in like chicken blood and stuff and my clothes will be torn, but I think I'm just a werewolf. So
yeah, I was gonna say we did werewolves last week, man. I know you're trying to bring it back, but it's over. We gave you 2 episodes of it.
All right. Yeah. All right. I'll drop it. No, I don't sleepwalk.
Nah. And actually, side note, I did rewatch, I had never seen it all the way through the 2004 Van Helsing movie with, Hugh Jackman.
Hell yeah.
Story was a little too Hollywood for my taste, but the werewolf effects, because it was great because we just recorded the episode, the werewolf effects were actually really cool.
The werewolf design, like in that movie they have the hybrid werewolves.
Yeah,
and they make them look so dope, you know.
Oh yeah. And this is like around the same time Sam Raimi Spider-Man series came out, so like the fact that those like CG stuff were like that good at the time, power to them. But no more werewolves.
All right, fine. I'll drop it. I'll drop the werewolf talk. But listen, I'm not a furry. I've been getting comments. People are like, oh, Nick's a secret furry because he likes werewolves. I'm like, no, I'm not a secret furry. Werewolves are cool. Furries are dumb. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I was about to say something else.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got to say, I was one of those spammers too. Because, yeah, I think I sent you just like 10 like messages, like Nick's a closet furry just on repeat. You loved that when you were moving, right?
Oh, it was great. That was the thing that got me through was seeing everybody call me a furry. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Another one is having a chaotic sleeping schedule. This can trigger sleep paralysis. So they do say it's very good for your body to have at least a time in that you get up every day. Not necessarily. I mean, it's important for you to kind of go to bed around the same time every night as well, but the most important of the two is definitely what time you get up. That's why they say even if you stay up later than usual, still try to get up at your normal time. But if you deviate from this and you have a poor sleeping schedule or it changes a lot, boom, you're gonna get raped by demons. So congratulations, you technically played yourself. You have control over your sleeping schedules.
I was reading stories online of sleep paralysis, and there was one woman who claimed that she could have sex with the demons.
Yes, we're going to get into that a little bit later, but there's definitely some there. Okay, look, there's
pornographic.
It's either consensual or non-consensual when it comes to these demons. It just depends on how freaky you are. You know what I mean? Like if you're in bed and you're like, hey, this isn't the worst thing that could happen. I'm getting laid right now, you know?
Well, and that's an interesting subject we can get into later of like, where's that divide between, is this a sleep paralysis thing or is this an actual haunting?
Or are you being molested?
In which case, use your keen level. I know you people are smart out there. Use your keen observation and know what you are dealing with. That is the first part of the battle.
If you see something, say something.
Right.
Like, don't touch me there.
Jeez. Okay.
Oh, God. All right. Let's move on. So another one is stress. That's a big one. All right. If you're constantly a little ball of stress, that's another trigger. And technically right now, I'm 3 for 3 when it comes to these triggers.
Oof. Wait. Okay. So let's see. Let's just go through. So it's sleep deprivation, chaotic sleep schedule, and being stressed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, no, I sleep a lot, so that's probably why I don't really get it. I actually sleep so much that I like cater my work schedule to my ridiculous sleeping. Chaotic sleep schedule, yes. I've been a little all over the place. Gig and stuff, stress, yes. But like, it's starting to kind of ease down. So I'll say I'm like 1.5 out of 3.
That's not terrible. I think you're in the clear.
I think so too. But you on the other hand,
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like I said, though, my mind is sharp.
Yeah,
it's about as sharp as a dull as a butter knife. It's ready. It's you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was gonna say, if it wasn't for the fact of the paralysis part, I think when they start choking you, you just gotta shout "daddy," and I think they'll either choke harder to finish you off, or they'll go away because you weirded them out.
I'm hoping it's the first one, man. They just finished me off at that point, both sexually and in my life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it could go either way. So who knows? So I know we're all joking here, but there is one thing I do need to point out. Sleep paralysis is not dangerous. It's terrifying and it sucks, but there's actually no real risk for you physically or bodily in any way from sleep paralysis.
If you believe the science behind it, yes. If you believe in like the official explanation of sleep paralysis, yes, you cannot be harmed and you will not die, as terrifying as it is. But we'll get into that. We will get into the debate later in the episode.
Absolutely. Because
you guys already know where this is going. You already know what's going to happen. All right. So just stay tuned for it, because I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. We'll get there when we get there. But, yeah, so that being said, though, I think that's my little segue to this is one of those rare episodes where I actually had to do a little dive in myself, because there's a lot of science behind this, and there's a lot of science behind dreams and nightmares and sleep paralysis and how the two relate to each other and why our brains do what they do and all this stuff like that. So if you guys can indulge me for a little bit, we could take a little look into this more realistic and more believable reasoning as to why all this shit happens.
Yep, you guys heard him. Professor Tasker's back in the building, here to deliver some real life information about a topic that is clearly supernatural in being. But Tasker, no, go ahead, take over. Let's learn about sleep and the neuro and the neuro. We can cut that.
Yeah,
and the neurological things about it. I guess. I mean, I'm not a big science guy. You know what I mean? So that's what you're here for. You're here to deliver the facts as the world puts them forward, and I'm here to debate them.
Yep. I'm belting up my khaki pants, putting on my sweater vest, and pushing my glasses up onto my face, because let's talk about some shit, all right?
Let's do it.
All right. So as stated, making connections between sleep paralysis, nightmares, and dreaming is an ongoing hustle. It might help to briefly go through how sleeping works in order to better get a jump on this and to better describe it. So I thought like the best way to start this off is, well, let's look into how we sleep. What is the science behind this? And this is kind of a brief overview. Obviously, it's a little bit more complicated than this, but you know, we don't have all day. So we fall asleep. That tends to be, our sleep schedule is based on the sun cycle. As Nick mentioned previously, having a chaotic sleep schedule can kind of throw you out of whack. And that's because we have what's called the circadian clock built into us, which is, of course, that whole, you know, before we lived in homes and had artificial lighting, the sun was the only indicator of when to be awake and when to be asleep. And we, our systems evolved with that. So, and most things that came on the planet Earth, came to life on the planet Earth, follow this circadian schedule thing. So chronic circadian desynchronization is largely caused by different workday/day-off schedules, and also from the replication of sunlight by looking at LED screens at night. So that was a big word right there. But that basically desynchronization through our circadian clocks fucks us up. It's just like there's no real like, it's not like it'll kill you or anything like super serious, but it's like kind of more attributed to hormone imbalance, mood instability and all this stuff, which is why, as we talked about before, is one of the kind of the preludes to what might lead to sleep paralysis. So how you feeling so far with all that?
I mean, it makes sense. I believe in having a good sleeping schedule to be healthy. So far it's making sense. To me, I get up when the rooster crows. I go to bed when the sun goes down. No,
the rooster is the pug Kiwi with a little costume on.
Yeah, he goes, I was like, oh, fuck, is it morning already?
Which is impressive when you to hear a pug cockle cackle like a rooster.
Yeah, I trained him well.
good. So with that being stated of like with circadian schedules, let's talk about what sleep actually is. So I'm sure you have all heard REM, Rapid Eye Movement, also a band that made that End of the World song, which is very relevant nowadays. They also, did Orange Crush, which is also a very cool song from.
Yeah, and Losing My Religion, man. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
I'm relaxed already. See, for we know we scared you earlier, but don't you all feel better now?
Yeah, come on.
So sleep is actually two different stages, REM, rapid eye movement, and the original NREM, which is non-rapid eye movement. So what happens when we sleep is our body goes into an anabolic state, which is a fancy way of saying that we repair ourselves, which, you know, I'm sure we all know that. When you're sleeping, waste materials more easily process. ATP and the sugar compound glycogen gets a chance to build up in our brain, which, by the way, both of those things get burned like very rapidly while we're awake. And that's actually why whenever you don't get enough sleep, you feel grouchy and irritable and like you can't really focus because your brain doesn't get to basically replenish its energy source. And that's what we do when we sleep. Our body also diverts the energy that we normally use to like, you know, function, move, all the signals we send to our body parts and stuff like that. We re-divert that into just, you know, boosting our immune system, strengthening our body parts, repairing wounds, kind of just like doing a big old like diagnostics overview on our whole body. And it's this cool automatic process our body does literally every single night. It's believed that by staying consistent with all that stuff, assists in long-term memory retention, and especially in old age. And there are some studies that say if you don't sleep a lot, you might not heal as well as you might as if you did.
Makes sense, dude. That's why Wolverine slept all the time, dude, because he would heal real fast. That's how he got that ability.
He's taking naps. And actually, they do say siestas or a small nap after your afternoon meal is said to be really like, super good for you, actually, and might be good for like cardiovascular health and like just overall well-being.
Oh, well, I'm glad that I don't run miles anymore. I could just take a nap after I have a giant ass lunch from Taco Bell. That sounds fantastic.
But I'm glad you said that because they say it's best if you do have siestas to have some light exercise in the evening, like a brisk walk or a little jog.
You keep saying siestas and brisk walks. What is this, Barcelona, dude? I don't live in Spain. I can't fucking do that shit.
And that's great you said that too, because siestas are more commonly take place in warmer parts of the world.
Well, I don't live in a warm state anymore. I can't. I look, I'm not Mexican. I can't have siestas. I can't take brisk walks to avoid the cartel. I can't do any of that.
You have to do more than a brisk walk. I'm pretty sure they have like Humvees.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, man. So during deep sleep or slow wave sleep, this is generally considered to be NREM, so non-rapid eye movement. Our bodies secrete bursts of growth hormone. So that's another reason why we tend to, especially when we're going through puberty, sleep is super important and why we should try to get as much as we can when we're young, which our school systems very generously rip away from us. But you secrete a lot of growth hormone when you sleep. And that's really where our body does most of its growing.
I do secrete a lot of hormones when I sleep.
Oh, yeah. That's just because you juice.
Oh, yeah.
So the replenishing of our brain during the sleeping process is essential to stabilizing our moods and lowering our anxiety. Our bodies are basically temporarily paralyzed during sleep because, as I stated earlier, we're re-diverting the energy that we would normally put into moving our body parts into other restorative functions. So we can consider being, when you are in deep sleep, to be temporarily paralyzed. Also, another reason why that evolutionarily that retained that like was a thing was because by being temporarily paralyzed in our sleep, we don't, you know, actively harm ourselves or others in our dreams and stuff like that.
I mean, look, if I am awake for it, then it's not my fault. I mean, I'm in a dream world, right? Wait, so you're saying if I'm a werewolf, right? And I turn into a werewolf and I go out and I kill people in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Am I technically at fault?
Well,
if I was sleeping and then I turned into a werewolf?
Well, because if you were in deep sleep and you turned into a werewolf and you continue to be in deep sleep, you wouldn't be moving. So, plus, I think the very painful process of having your whole bone structure move around would wake you up. Because that's the thing, is like, we're not like stun gun paralyzed. Like, our system, when it wakes up, it sends signals to start moving. And that's why we can leap up and, like, you know, in the case of danger or something like that. And that's why there's disorders where, because this is the human body we're talking about, it's flawed and things can go wrong. So when those signals that tell your system to wake up or to start to unparalyze the body, when those kind of get convoluted, now we're starting to move into the territory of sleep paralysis and like sleepwalking, where the muscles never really shut down to begin with. So that's where the crux of all this is coming from. Yeah. Also, sleep cycles. So going back into it, sleep cycles are about 90 minutes long and state of three stages of NREM or deep sleep and one stage of REM. And those repeat about 4 to 6 times in a full night's sleep. So, it's basically you actually dream. The time in your sleep when you're dreaming is only like 1/4 of the actual time spent asleep.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's they've even done studies where they had specific like eye signals where it's like, okay, because they were testing lucid dreaming for a while. And what they had them do is I couldn't really get a straight answer on it, but they wanted to see if time was different in a dream, where they said, okay, once you're lucid dreaming, we're going to measure your rapid eye movement and do this pattern with your eyes to say when you start counting and do this pattern in your eyes when you're done counting. And like, it totally translated.
That's so weird. Dude, I wish I could lucid dream. If I could lucid dream, I would travel back in time to prevent 9/11.
I don't. Okay. You know what?
I mean, look, that's a good cause. I could have said something bad. I could have been like, oh man, I wish I could lucid dream. If I could lucid dream, I'd go and definitely make sure Hitler didn't get into our school.
Yeah, that's. I
could have said that, but I didn't.
You could have.
I said I would go back and prevent a national tragedy.
In your dreams, though, that doesn't really help anything.
It helps my confidence.
Yeah, this is good. Unless we're going under the assumption or the possibility of being able to travel through time through our dream selves, through astral projection. But that is a heavy level of theoretics that we can talk about a different time.
Yes, I mean, we will be getting into a little bit of astral projection in this episode, but that deserves a whole ass episode on its own, so we're not going to get too deep into it.
Right. So just kind of zooming past this last part on sleep. REM, of course, we have 4 to 6 cycles of deep sleep to REM sleep, and then usually our body just kind of naturally wakes itself up, like we said, usually by the sunlight or our built-in circadian cycle. Usually we have alarm clocks, too. There's just, you know, yeah, and that's not a bad thing. Like, having an alarm clock isn't going to like ruin shit. Like, and like Nick said, it's good to relatively wake up around the same time because our body likes that consistency. Another thing too is if you find yourself waking up and feeling especially groggy, which I have seen and heard most often happens when we take a little too long of a nap, that usually is because you've woken up during an NREM cycle where the body is in its deepest phase and it amplifies a thing called sleep inertia, which is that overly groggy feeling, because when you're in REM, you're closer to being awake, so you can kind of more ease into it. But when you're in a deep sleep, it's like forcing your computer to like skip the boot, basically skip boot up and go right to your desktop. It'll fuck everything up.
Damn, that sounds brutal.
Yep. So now let's talk about dreaming. You ready to talk about dreaming? I'm ready to talk about dreaming.
I'm ready to dream. Let me dream a dream about Hitler and 9/11.
Wow, is that that's going to be the theme song when you go solo eventually, huh?
Yep.
Oh, boy. So, dreaming is pretty crazy. Why the hell does it happen? There is a theory by John Allen Hobson and Robert McCarley, which proposes that the cerebral cortex is firing off neurons randomly during our REM sleep. Now, this random firing of little brain missiles can cause random images or thoughts or ideas to occur, and that a dream is basically our forebrain, which is the part of our brain that like articulates things together and arranges things in a understandable and narrative order. Basically, thrown with a bunch of this chaos, it attempts to structure it into something. And that structure playback is essentially what a dream is. So that's possibly, and like I said, a lot of this is theoretical. We can't really prove it, but they could say that's why dreams are so surreal and occur narratively. And it's also interesting how they do fade from memory extremely quickly after waking up. And that's what sparked the idea of dream journals. And they say supposedly by like keeping a dream journal, you're actually helping yourself to train to start lucid dreaming, which we mentioned earlier, which is, of course, the act of being aware of being in a dream without waking up and being able to move around and do whatever you want, which has actually been around in humanity for centuries and has been a practice in like meditation. Ancient Buddhist monks are said to have done it. It's crazy. And I know some of you might be wondering, are we going to get into like Freudian dream analysis bullshit? But like, oh, what do your dreams mean? Like this is not the episode for that. That would be a fun one to talk about, but dreams is such a huge subject. So we're just going to keep it quick and we're going to keep it concise and we're going to move on to really getting in it. We're going from general to specific because now we're going to talk about nightmares.
Ooh, I hope you guys are in your beds. I hope you're in your beds and you didn't look behind you.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. And you know, the minute you turn your eye away from your phone, that's when they're going to come get you.
That's when they get you. Do they strike?
Yep.
They do it before even taking you to dinner. That's the worst part.
Oh, dude, when I was a kid, I remember I was in the shower and I got soap in my eyes. And for some reason, I just assumed that the minute I opened my eyes, there was just going to be something there in the shower with me. So I just kind of stood there crying with my eyes closed for like 20 minutes.
You're such a big pussy.
I was like 8. Come on.
Oh, I thought this was like last
yesterday. No, I've improved. I've improved. Now the crying doesn't stop.
Okay.
It doesn't start.
I didn't mean to call you a pussy. I thought you were talking this happened like on Tuesday or something.
Oh, man. So, nightmare. Where the hell does that word come from? Actually, there is a creature called a mare, a malicious creature from Slavic or Germanic origins, they might come from both. Who knows? Who cares?
What do you mean? Okay. That's my line. My line is who cares? I don't give a shit what the difference is between the Slavs and the Germanics. I'm pretty sure. Look, I know Slavic. I'm pretty sure Slavics are like Eastern European, like. Maybe Russian. I don't know. Dude, I don't know. Look, I'm not a geography major. I don't know history. And I definitely am not culturally aware. Let's say that. And anybody listening to this show knows that I am not culturally aware.
Yeah, it was just weird. It felt like your like spirit took over me for a second there. Like,
you're just like, who cares? Like, I don't know. Some of the listeners might care.
And I was like, wait, no, that's not what I meant at all. Is it because I'm talking more in this episode? You need to get your two cents in, so you're astrally projecting into my body.
I may or may not have the ability to do that, but I'm not going to tell you if I do.
That's honestly a very smart call on your part.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So. A mare is a creature that rides on people's chests while they sleep, which is said to cause nightmares and bad dreams. And of course, a mare is different from the other term mare, which is a female horse.
Man, those horse vaginas are huge.
Good observation.
I don't know. Look, I've seen one and it was like looking into, like, you ever seen the horror movie The Descent?
No,
it was like going to that cave. Wow. I mean, I didn't go in. It was just like looking at it. You know what I mean? I'm digging a hole that I can't get out of.
Is this what you do now that you're out of California in more of a countryside like area?
There are horses everywhere. What do you want me to do? Look, the only reason I knew this is because I was driving down a highway and there's farms on either side of the street all the time. And you look over, you're like, oh shit, look, there's horses. But then boom, right in front of the fence, dude, they just put it right out there for you to see. And I'm just like, well, that's what that looks like.
Yeah. See, this is the repercussions of WAP, that song.
Yeah. Now the horses feel empowered and they're just going to start twerking on the highway, getting their WAPs all over the place.
Boy, it's out of control. It's out of control. All right.
Stop talking about
this. This is becoming a nightmare in and of itself. And if you weren't going to have one tonight, you're going to have a nightmare about that. So, God damn it.
This is what happens when I have my own house now. I don't have to hold my tongue anymore. I don't have to like be like, oh, should I? What if they hear me? No, I can talk about horse pussy all I want.
Well, I'm glad you're getting a new sense of empowerment from horse pussy. So, you know what? Enjoy it.
All right, let's move on. I'm tired of talking about it.
Okay, so a nightmare, of course, so using the term of the creature mare in the middle of the night was a nightmare, and that's where the word came from. Yay. A nightmare is actually said to be very different from a bad dream in that the key difference is that a nightmare will wake you up and will leave you in a feeling of dread and distress for what could be a couple minutes to the rest of the night. Whereas a bad dream is more classified as just a dream that was just kind of overall unpleasant.
Yeah.
This is why frequent nightmares actually can be characterized as a sleeping disorder, because it affects your sleeping pattern similar to how insomnia does. Because insomnia, of course, is a lot less terrifying, but you know, nightmares is essentially the same deal where you just can't sleep anymore because the constant fear of like whatever the hell happened. And curiously, the memory of nightmares sticks a lot stronger than dreams. Now, Nick, why do you think that is?
I think that's because humans are dumb and we are sensitive creatures. And look, if something goes awesome in a dream, right? Let's say that you're having a dream about taking a test and you pass your test and then the teacher asks you to stay after class and she sucks your dick. It's right. Like you're having a good dream, right? Yeah, maybe you'll remember it, but you'll just wake up feeling good the next morning, not really knowing why, you know? But when you have a nightmare, that shit sticks with you because it's like, you know, what if you failed your test and then the teacher asked you to stay after class and you're like, oh, this is it, dude. This is what Pornhub has been training me for. And then instead of performing fellatio, she calls your parents and basically says that you should probably get tested for autism.
Is this coming from experience or?
I know that was a specific story and I maybe have had that nightmare. I woke up like, I don't want to be autistic. And I just like woke up like right out of my thing. But it turns out I'm probably autistic. So,
I mean, who knows? Yeah, it's one of those things where I would be afraid to take that test myself because there's that whole thing of like, I'm pretty sure I'm not, but, what if I am?
Right. That's my fear too. So that's why I think nightmares stick with us more is because it gets to us. It gets to the core.
Right.
I don't know, man.
And to be fair to any listeners out there who may be or are related to somebody who is like severely autistic. If me or Nick did rank on there, we would probably be pretty light on that spectrum.
Yes, and also sorry. Look, we gotta tell jokes. All right, it is our duty to joke. And yes, the subject matter was probably poor choice, but it's a low hanging fruit, so yeah. I went for it. All right,
we've had a lot of poor subject matter thus far.
This has been a weird episode, man. I know we're supposed to be talking about, which we are, sleep paralysis. We're starting to get to the creepy stuff, but man, we're just talking about all kinds of shit.
Yeah, we're getting all over the place, which actually one could say matches the surreal nature of dreams in general.
Is this a bit? You guys will never know. Is this whole episode a bit? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll leave it up to you. But actually, Nick, you're not too far off. We remember nightmares because they are stressful, and we tend to remember stressful, panicky things because, remember, we came from nature. We came from the wild, and we remember bad experiences as to prevent them in the future versus fun and happy experiences, which are just chill and fun and a good time for us, but don't really necessarily affect our survival. So there are also some studies say that eating before bed may encourage nightmares because when you eat, obviously it's not just because it's delicious, but that's our source of energy. And when you ingest a source of energy before you go to bed, that energy may activate in your sleep. And when you have energy in your sleep, that makes it a kind of like a higher chance that like your body will be more vigilant and more tense, and that like activity can trigger a nightmare possibly because there's that stress response, you know, or maybe a light stress response turns into a bigger stress response because you have the energy to handle it, in theory. So I'm not really sure about that, but it's like I said, it's all kind of up for debate. So nightmares generally happen during the second half of your sleep cycles and are characterized by stress related to a threat to one's security, survival, and self-esteem. Now we're starting to get more into the sleep paralysis part of it, where sleep paralysis has that similar vibe of you feel a threat to your security, your survival, or most importantly, your self-esteem.
Yep.
So, and like there have been stories in sleep paralysis of like people seeing like dead relatives or seeing people calling them like fat when they like felt like they were overweight.
Fat.
Yep.
You're just fat. Like
that. I'm going to have sleep paralysis and it's literally just going to be you like in like a fucking onesie just being like, you're fat.
Fat.
Yeah. But yeah, there are cases too where it's like, it's not just, because the most common is like a dude like strangling you or something like that, or like a demon watching you. But there are cases of people seeing deceased relatives or people they've humiliated themselves in front of them, like pointing it out to them again, or like, just, you know, that's where it's hitting all those markers. And that's where the fear comes in, which is same thing that happens in nightmares. Nightmares can be considered parasomnia, which are sleep disorders characterized by abnormal sleeping behaviors. And it is, sleep paralysis is also considered a parasomnia, but they're not one. The point I'm making here is they're not one in the same. Like they're two different disorders because it's a different thing causing them. And, but they do have a lot like hand in hand. And this subject matter is of high interest to psychologist Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, which is the study and development of therapies for the unconscious mind, and Carl Jung, who is the founder of analytical psychology, which is the like stuff like the id, extroversion, introversion, complexes, horoscope can even consider to be kind of Jungian. But
hey, look, man, I don't want to be that guy, but I think it's Jung.
Jung?
Jung.
Ah, but
because he's Chinese, right?
Is he? I thought he was Swiss.
No, it is Jung though. But I just thought I'd throw a Chinese joke in there since I'm already offending a bunch of people.
Wow. Wait, I hope you're proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Don't worry. I'm almost done. You could get all your sillies out soon.
No, I already got them out. I'm good. I don't even have anything for after you're done talking. So.
Well, then we'll just have to keep on doing our shining best, huh? Yeah. So there is still much to be confirmed and understood about nightmares, but they tend to happen more in children and also tend to happen more frequently in those under high stress or suffering from PTSD trauma. So if you're a kid who is under high stress or maybe have experience of PTSD, you're in a pretty bad bracket.
Like if you were a kid and you were in NOM, dude, yeah. You're screwed.
Yeah, you got some hard times ahead. Of course, a lot of that can be treated with therapy, but it's like, that's a tough one because there's a lot of internal, like psychological things that are going on there. Like that medication can't necessarily fix, but I'm no doctor.
Me neither.
Yeah. So if you guys are having issues with that, don't come to a alien conspiracy podcast for information. Like go see a professional if you're going through this.
But I can help you out. I mean, just send me like your issues and I'll tell you a joke or something. Maybe that'll cheer you up and make you forget about how you were in the wars.
There you go. Good. You're so generous. So one thing that I can finally point out here is that in the world of art, there is a very famous painting.
He brings up art. Oh, the art major brought up art, huh? Holy shit.
There is a painting by Henry Fuseli called The Nightmare. It is insanely famous, especially in the time when it was first released and put on display. It depicts a woman lying outstretched with a black creature sitting on her chest and a black horse poking its head out of the background. The creature is said to be the mare creature or an incubus. And the horse, which is also likely a reference to mares being female horses, can be seen as a representative of the dream state of surrealism. And there's many, of course, with all the comparisons of sleep paralysis feeling like a creature crushing your chest, there's a lot of people who look to that painting in modern day being like, oh shit, maybe he went through it and maybe like that's why he made it. The artist never did give commentary, but it is said that the painting is more likely to have been inspired by an unrequited love situation and that it's more about
nightmares than it is about sleep paralysis, which is a little disappointing.
That's very disappointing. And you know what it is? Is it's the art, dude. It's the artists are all sensitive and we think it's some dope. Because I've seen this painting. I have a book on vampires and vampirism where this book or this painting is the cover of the book. It's very, very creepy painting. I was hoping it was some cool backstory, you know, like maybe he, you know, like an incubus, like was just like all up on him or something like that. And some in his like horse bitch was just watching from a curtain or something. But turns out he's just a sensitive Sally and he is somebody didn't love him. So he's going to make an emo painting about it.
Yeah, they a lot of people remarked on the quote unquote erotic nature of it. So people think that it was just him just like wishful thinking that she has a bunch of nightmares of rejecting him.
Good Lord, man. Oh, pretty, my.
Kind of in simp territory.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much he's donating to Belle Delphine. That's ridiculous.
Might as well have. So that's a little bit on the science of sleeps and nightmares. So let's go into the science and physicality of sleep paralysis itself. As we know, it has been a part of human culture for a very long time. Sleep paralysis is nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. As Nick stated before, it happens most commonly before, right before you fall asleep or right before you wake up. So when you're in that kind of transitory period, 1 in 10 people have sleep paralysis in their lifetime. Experience it a couple times is super normal, but having frequent sleep paralysis might be more indicative of other sleeping disorders at play, such as insomnia or narcolepsy, but there could be other non-treatable things going on. The general idea of what might physically be happening in your brain when you have sleep paralysis is circuits are basically firing off incorrectly during the waking up or falling asleep period. So like we said before, like with sleepwalking and like all that stuff, basically, your brain is firing off the all right, wake up signals, but neglects to fire off the stop your keep your, get your body moving signals. So that's what causes that like still paralyzed and surreal dream state to collide with the awake state. And that's essentially what a sleep paralysis episode is the sleeping world and the awake world colliding. So factors such as, you know, like you said, sleep deprivation, alcohol, even sometimes stress are factors in triggering sleep paralysis. But there's also research that it's hereditary. So some people you might just be unlucky and be born with it. So a lot of what makes sleep paralysis terrifying is being unable to differentiate existence or non-existence, whether you're awake or you're asleep, and being unable to move through it all. There's generally three main sensations you might feel, which is 1, a heavy or painful weight on or around your chest. 2, a hallucination of a creature or some sort of intruder. And 3, the sensation of an out-of-body experience. So one of the big, most like common things is they seem to all be humanoid. Isn't that weird? And how everybody seems to have like a similar vision.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. And that's because we're being assaulted in our dreams.
Right.
By a creature.
Yes. Is that all you have to say on that? Or is there any other theories you might have?
No, that's it. That's it. The reason it's a common ground for all these people is because they're all seeing the same thing.
All right. And now an old segment that I'm bringing back from the dead. This is why it's bullshit. There's this thing in our brain called the, okay, this is going to be hard. Somatosensory homunculus.
You made that up. That's bullshit. You made up that word. You watched Harry Potter one too many times and tried coming up with your own spell, didn't you?
Nope. This is a very real thing. Keep in mind, we're getting into neurological stuff, so the terms are a little all over the place. But the somatosensory homunculus is basically the portion of our brain that assigns limbs and different parts of our body to use basically as sensors to help us have greater spatial awareness and to build an internal picture of the world around us. So when you close your eyes and you put your hand out, you can kind of get a sense that there might be, without touching it, and if you know it's there, you can kind of feel it there without looking at it and stuff. That's because our brain uses our limbs as sensors to pick up and understand the world around us better. So when our brain still tries to use our limbs as sensors, but our limbs are paralyzed, It is said that our brain creates limbs for us to sense, and that is why we have these humanoid figures appearing to us in our dreamlike sleep paralysis states. So that can be what can be reinterpreted as ghosts or demons. And while that we're in this like colliding dream slash awake like state.
Sounds like bullshit to me, man. I don't know. I think I might have to turn the tables on you and say, this is why this is bullshit. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. If I'm trying to create a limb as a sensor, why would it show up as a third party, as a whole ass person in the room instead of just my arm as like a shadowy figure?
Because the brain doesn't know what to do. So it just does something. And that's who, it seems.
Who created this? Who created this what the fuck? How do you say this shit? Somatosensory homunculus.
Yep.
It had to have been a drunk person. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. If I'm trying to create, okay, let me reiterate this. If I'm trying to create a limb for my own limb that isn't working because it's paralyzed, why would it be somebody across the room from me and be like, oh, there's my limb over there, a whole person?
Well, that's the thing, is it doesn't work. Your body tries to do it and it gets fucked up in the process. And that's why it shows up as something entirely different. And also keep in mind, we're still dreaming during this state, and that's what further bastardizes it. And on top of that, the fear and the panic of not being able to move triggers the stress response, which is indicative of what happens in nightmares. And therefore, it kind of becomes this puddle of just shit that becomes sleep paralysis.
I'm gonna pull a Tasker here and just say that's too convenient, man. I don't know who the hell made up this fucking thing, but it sounds that's not it.
Well, you'll be happy to know it's not proven. We are in the realm of theoretical science. It is a possible explanation from neuroscientists trying to figure out what the hell is going on with our brains and why it's so consistent. And that's about as far as I've gotten in my research, and possibly as far as they've gotten. But there might be more going on, as far as we know. I don't know.
Never trust a scientist. They're only there to make money and fund their own projects. They'll say anything to get money. All right, don't trust them.
Right. So do politicians, but we all seem to be jolly and happy about them fucking around, right?
I'm not jolly. I'm not voting. I never vote.
At least if a scientist makes a scientific breakthrough, there's a positive in it for them.
Yeah, positive in the pharmaceutical industry. Good for them.
No, those are more of the suits. I think the doctors. All right. Well, okay. Let's just, we don't need to talk about this right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's go on to out-of-body experiences, which may have something to do with serotonin receptors and have a link to basically hallucinogenic drugs. There might be similar things happening with out-of-body experiences as what happens when you take LSD or magic mushrooms. But as I said before, most of this is purely theoretical. This is some like new age crazy shit that like there is a lot of fascination about the subject matter. There are a lot of scientists actively researching this, because to understand this is to understand the whole process of opening our third eye and transcending who we are. And that's pretty cool.
Fuck yeah, dude. You're talking about opening up your third eye. It's about goddamn time. Good for you, man.
Yeah, but of course, out-of-body experiences are much less fun when it's a sleep paralysis situation, or if you have ever done hard drugs and found yourself in a bad trip situation. There's a lot of kind of similarities between the two, so that's why they make that connection.
I am on shrooms right now, so that would answer a lot of questions about this episode.
Yeah, you're hanging in there really well. Like, yeah, you've been in your underwear and scratching your armpit for an hour now, but
yeah, that's me.
Well, good for you. So you might be asking, okay, I'm scared out of my mind. I don't want all this to happen to me. I don't want the ghost of Bill Cosby coming in and slapping my ass and choking me.
Oh, come here. I know you're sleeping all the way up. I couldn't help but notice you looked a little lovely.
Oh, my God. So with that image in your head, you're probably thinking, how do we prevent this? How do I make this not happen to me? Well, first, it's unfortunate to say, but prevention techniques do vary from case to case and don't always work, because sometimes, like we said, sleep paralysis may be caused by an underlying sleeping condition that you might be suffering through, but also may or may not just be a purely psychological thing. So generally, sleep paralysis can be avoided by A, getting full night's sleep, B, not drinking or eating too much before bed to make sure to minimize that like energy level so you can't spike. C, keeping yourself, was that C? Okay, we'll just say it's C.
Yeah, man. Remember Michael Jackson, that one song, ABC?
Thank you. I'm glad that song's around. I have the catchy jingle so I can remember.
You're welcome.
Thank you. C, keeping yourself healthy and exercise. But D, most importantly, do not fall asleep on your back. Sleeping on your back actually invites a physical situation where the soft palate can temporarily collapse and block your airway. And they say that's that sensation of being choked or strangled is actually your soft palate, which I believe is somewhere in your throat, just kind of falls and drops. You're not suffocating, like it won't kill you, but it blocks your airway a bit and makes you feel like you can't breathe properly. And that's where that strangling sensation is. And like we said, sleep paralysis is a hot soup of fucking terrible garbage all happening at once. So when you're dreaming about scary shit and you can't move and you're seeing things, and then on top of it, your soft palate's closing your throat, so you feel like you're being throttled. All of that kind of comes together and gives a horribly nightmare situations. Sucks. But they say physically they think that's what's happening and that's what causes the choking. As we said before, sleep paralysis could be hereditary. And weirdly enough, more commonly happens in identical twins. But like I said before, this seems mostly just theoretical. Medications such as antidepressants and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors can help, especially if you're suffering from depression or anxiety disorders, but also are not guaranteed or even known to stop symptoms completely. If someone has other sleeping conditions or trauma, those should be treated accordingly as well. So there might be a psychological thing going on. But yeah, the simple physical thing is try to avoid sleeping on your back. Try to avoid having weight on your chest because that basically trying to figure out the triggers is essentially your first step to preventing sleep paralysis, to try to get yourself better sleeps and to make yourself feel better. So now, one thing I do got to point out before I finish my scientific segment. So sleep paralysis, you know, a moment where maybe you open your eye, you fell asleep, you open your eyes, maybe suddenly you feel like you're in a place unfamiliar or you're in a place familiar, and there's tall figures staring above you, maybe doing fucked up shit to you. Who's to say that maybe all these tall tales of alien abduction Nick's been crooning about for this past year may actually have been just situations of sleep paralysis?
Oh, weird. The scars, the implants, the memories, all this stuff. No, that's all bullshit. All these people are, you know, they're all just having bad dreams.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows?
That's ridiculous. We're going to get into this, but I just want to say that's ridiculous that you would even bring that up and like say it so like condescendingly.
The minute I stumbled upon that, I was just like, I'm happy about it. I'm glad I'm getting a rise.
All right, no, that's fine. I'm keeping my cool. I'm totally fine. I'm good. Yep.
Well, you better be, because now it's your turn to talk. Time to talk.
I forgot I had stuff to talk about. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you, Professor Tasker, for it was insightful. You only lost me a couple times at some of the big words, but that is what science does, right?
True.
So yes, that was good, but also wrong. Now let's move on to this next part. Now we are all on the same page as far as what sleep paralysis and dreaming and nightmares are, conventionally, right?
Conventionally.
I want to point out now that this phenomenon is fairly well known in the United States, as we've talked about, but like Tasker said, this happens all over the world, plenty of countries, basically anywhere there's a human, there is sleep paralysis. And in this section, we will be going over a couple different regions and their beliefs behind sleep paralysis and what they mean or what's causing it. Very interesting shit.
Ooh.
So in Egypt, for example, sleep paralysis is seen as a jinn attack. Okay. And for those unaware, a jinn is a spirit in different Middle Eastern and Arabian regions. It's also known as a genie to us white people. or fans of the little, what is that one? The Little Mermaid. What is that one movie?
What? Aladdin?
Aladdin. Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I don't watch Disney movies, man.
Right. Jin. That's also, I know in Japan they have Majin, which is kind of like a sound for basically means like evil. And in Dragon Ball Z, the Majin symbol, which is like when you're under control of that wizard guy.
You had Bobbity. They really, all right. Good.
Yeah. And then his dad is Bibbidi, and then they create the creature Boo. Get it? Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. And
yeah. Wow. That's so cute. Listen, you had a whole ass section to piss me off that you've already done, and you still had to fit anime in. And then you talk about Bippity Boppity Boo, like I'm supposed to understand the reference. Like, I don't know what that is. It sounds like somebody's on drugs and just decided to name some anime characters.
Oh yeah, that's why I explained it.
Okay, good. I'm glad we diverted so we could talk about anime. I know that was your goal and it worked. Good job.
Oh, it does.
Okay, but like we were saying, these are genies, okay? And they're not like your, look, Aladdin or whatever that movie was. If I remember correctly, you rub the lamp, sensually, the genie comes out, right? First off, that's super phallic. That definitely means something, right? Disney's a bunch of perverts.
Always.
But that's not necessarily how it works with actual jinn. They're technically not good, and they're technically not evil innately, but they are known to conduct evil acts, right? Hence, sleep paralysis. So in Egypt, they believe that sleep paralysis attacks are just attacks of jinns in the middle of the night.
Easy, convenient, straightforward.
Beautiful. Man, Egypt's weird. moving on to a different part of the world, we come to Cambodia. And we see sleep paralysis here becomes more of a personal horrifying experience for Cambodians. So in Cambodia, sleep paralysis is known as, quote, the ghost pushes you down, unquote. Nice. Mm-hmm. And these specific spirits are believed to be angry encounters with your dead relatives.
Ooh.
And that's pretty much it. Just your dead relatives that come in your sleep. They're like, hey, Nick, you owed me $30 before I died. You're like, oh, fuck, man.
Ghost, what are you going to do with $30? Buy a fucking ghost hot dog?
Don't worry about it. Where's my money, bitch?
Just curious, what would you, if you did actually owe a ghost money, would you just like put it in a box on their like grave or something?
I think that would be the respectful thing to do if you didn't want to get your butthole turned inside out in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah.
By a ghost. That's what I would do, but that's only if I was living in Cambodia.
Right. So this is localized entirely in Cambodia, but this could possibly happen elsewhere, right?
It could. These are just their explanations or things that they've experienced in their culture. So like in Cambodia, apparently a lot of them experience encounters with dead relatives during sleep paralysis, which is weird.
Ugh, that sucks.
Yeah. You're like, ugh, God, I already hated talking to my grandmother. Now I got to talk to her. She's dead.
I heard somebody, I was looking at stories online, and there was somebody who it's like their brother had just like passed away like a week previous. And he has sleep paralysis dream of like his brother just like staring at him and just like standing at the end of his bed. Like, and when that's just freshly happened, that has got to be the most mortally terrifying thing I can ever think of.
I think it's scarier to have something just stand there and looking at me than it is for it to be like choking me. Honestly, like, cause you can't move, but you're looking straight at it and it's looking straight at you. I'd rather it's the tension, dude. That's what makes a horror movie good. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm all going off topic, but this is something Tasker and I have been talking about recently.
Right.
Okay. A lot of modern horror movies, it's like jump scare every 5 minutes, and they think that's the scary part. No, it's the tension. It's the beautiful agony in those moments that just like encapture fear within us, right? So like if you're having sleep paralysis and there's a demon at the foot of your bed or in the corner of your room or something, and you're looking at it and he's looking at you, that's horrifying.
Oh yeah. And like even worse when you start jacking off and it just like gets a little bit more like, well, no, because you're paralyzed. So I guess that wouldn't work, but.
Well, I mean, I don't need hands for that.
That's right. Hands-free orgasm. HFO. We talked about that.
HFO.
So if any of you guys experience it, give that a go. And for all we know, we may have just discovered the cure.
Oh boy.
But in just like in brief addition to what you just said, though, that's what made the original Grudge movie, Ju-on, so fantastic was, they did this thing where, in film, of course, there's these, four specific points of the screen that are like your areas of interest, where if you divide, it's the rule of thirds. So if you divide the screen in thirds, side to side and up to down, there'll be these four points of intersection. And that's your area of interest. What they did in The Grudge is whenever the ghost was there, they would purposefully put the ghost in an area outside of the area of interest. So it was just in the corner of your eye. And the minute, and then it catches you off guard at the beginning of the movie. And you find yourself for the rest of the goddamn movie checking every goddamn corner of the screen of where this thing might be happening next. And even after the film was done, I found myself still doing that. It was insane.
Fantastic, dude. Ju-on was awesome. I just watched it a couple weeks ago again. It was really good. They did a see. That's it. That's horror, man. Yeah, there's like a couple jump scares in there, but they're not even jump scares. Like, you know, okay, remember the scene where she's in bed and then she lifts up the comforter and the ghost is right there. See, that's not technically a jump scare, but it's like, what the fuck? Okay, that was great.
It's unsettling, and it's the thing you definitely like. You wouldn't think about it until you saw it, and then you're like, fuck, like, here we go. Now I can't even open up my covers.
Exactly. Damn, good movie. Good. I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a fucking good movie.
Yeah. See, there are some horror movies, though, I do really like. That one, that was really good. I really like that one.
Proud of you, buddy.
Thank you.
So now let's go to the most overrated romantic region in all of the world. All right. Italy. All right. It's a stinky place. It's dirty. It's old. And it's romanticized. But that's a different topic, though.
Yeah. See, now I thought you were going to say France, but I forgot you have a huge hard on for France, actually.
I fucking love France, dude. Look, I know I'm romanticizing it myself in my brain. That's fine. I understand. But I want cheese. I want wine. I want to see the Eiffel Tower. I want to go to the places where they filmed An American Werewolf in Paris. I want to do all kinds
of stuff. There it is.
That's the true reason. All right. But I, Italy, on the other hand, is overrated. Too many carbs and they pickpocketers everywhere, and it's an old country with old cities, and the history is not that interesting, and the people are mean. Anyway, so let's move on. So it's Italians. They call sleep paralysis pendefece. And pendefece refers to an evil witch type thing that attacks you in your sleep, either taking the form of a ghost-like apparition or a monstrous feline-esque creature.
So a furry.
A furry. That's probably the most horrifying thing we've heard all day.
So see, if there's any furries left listening, see, there's still something out there for you, even in your nightmares.
Yep, just move to Italy and start haunting people in their sleep. And then please, actually, yeah, move to Italy. Get out of America.
Another one of your presidential platforms. Are you writing yourself in for the ballot this year?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to vote this year so I can write myself in, and I'll just put underneath, we'll create camps for furries. Yeah.
Not a very nice thing to put there, but hey, you know what, man? It's your life.
Well, you know what we really should be doing right now is we should be getting all those Mexican kids out of the camps that they're in and putting the furries in there.
Well, I see. I would indulge you with a discussion on this, but I have a feeling that will lead us both to a place that might get us off the air.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's not do it then.
But interesting idea.
Thank you. So if you guys are voting, please write my name in this year.
Right. No, don't get Trump out.
Okay, our next stop is Newfoundland. Our Canadian brothers and sisters up there in the old north there, all right? So Newfoundland, eh? Call sleep paralysis the old hag. Yeah. And just like my ex-wife, right? So the victims referred to it in the process of the old hag there as being hagged. All right, they're being hagged. Really? Now, even though the term old hag is usually synonymous with the females, right? Though the ladies, if you will, reports out of Newfoundland talk of both male and female apparitions sitting upon their chests, right? And haunting them in their half awake, half sleep state. So Newfoundland, man, they really have something for hags up there, buddy.
I guess so. Yeah. Do you think the sleep demons are a little nicer up there or just as rude?
I think they're a lot nicer up there. So they'll be like sitting on your chest, right? And they'll be like, hey, I didn't mean to wake you or anything, buddy, but I need a couple bucks to get up the road in a cab. You got any cash on you?
Oh, hey, I see you're sleeping there, but sorry, it's just really this cozy spot in your clavicle that just really hits all the marks.
Hey, I didn't mean to wake you up or anything, pal, but technically this is just my job. And if I don't do it, my boss is going to kill me. So I got to sit on your chest.
Don't take no offense, but buddy, it's just a dream.
Don't worry about it. It's a secret of the trade, buddy. Fucking Canadians are the best.
But it'd still be fucking terrifying too, because this thing would be like horrific looking, but like talking with us.
But he sounds like Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Best case scenario, I could say.
Exactly. But you know what? The folks up in Newfoundland even have a few ways to combat or prevent the old hag, including sleeping with a Bible under your pillow, saying the sleeper's name backwards, but you'll need help with this one because you can't speak. So if you know somebody who you can tell you have sleep paralysis issues to, tell them what you look like when you're having sleep paralysis so they know if you're going through it, and then have them, if they see you having it, then you can have them say your name backwards and it should wake you up from the old hag.
And weirdly enough, it's actually pretty easy to tell when somebody's having a sleep paralysis episode, because one, sometimes they are just laying there with their eyes open and they're not responding to anything, in which case try to wake them up or make sure they're not having a medical emergency. Or sometimes they just start convulsing or shaking, which also too, if they wake up, great. If they don't wake up, okay, it might be a medical episode. Call 911. But yeah, it's usually pretty clear. So something to kind of, you know, if your partner goes through it, be there for them.
Yeah, it's either sleep paralysis or a drug overdose, buddy. So you pick one.
Yep.
Another way, and last but not least, something they call a hag board, which is a wooden board with nails or sharp objects sticking out of it that is strapped to your torso so the hag cannot sit on your chest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine having that on and your new girlfriend or boyfriend or significant other does not know that you do that at night. And they jump on you, you know, to try to go on for some late night relations. And wow, that's embarrassing.
Yikes. Yeah, you go from having a couple holes to a bunch.
Yes, you. Indeed.
I
yes,
will be
indeed.
Here all day.
That's disgusting.
Yes. All right. Our final stop is right here in Tasker and I's home of the United States. USA. All right. Well, in the U.S., a major theory when it comes to sleep, like Tasker mentioned earlier, when it comes to sleep paralysis, is extraterrestrial abduction. And I'm not going to be getting into it right now, because this is a perfect transition into the final section of the episode. So, sure, Tasker gave us all like a nice little lecture about the quote unquote science behind sleep paralysis, right? Would you say that was a fair assessment?
It is a brief overview, but one could argue, yes, it is fair.
Okay.
Ish.
But Uncle Nick, on the other hand, is here to tell you that there is always more than meets the eye when it comes to the realm that we live in, okay? In this section, we will be discussing the more supernatural and extraterrestrial causes of sleep paralysis, the more probable causes in my humble opinion.
Right.
So first, I'm sorry, did you?
No, I rolled my eye and I was hoping. And there was a part of me that was like, man, I wish if eyes could make noise, man, you would hear it all the way from where the fuck you moved to.
All right. Well, let's see how you get through this section then, because now it's your turn to sit there and listen. Now it's your turn. All right.
I'll do my best.
First up on the list are the infamous shadow people. Okay, and shadow people are just what the name sounds like. They're figures made of shadows, which are shaped like humans, usually wearing some kind of top hat or fedora and a long coat. So you're essentially dealing with a neckbeard.
Yeah. That's probably why it's so heavy on your chest, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because they're thick. They just sit on your chest and go, m'lady.
Especially if you are a lady who is well endowed. I mean, that's just, they're just trying to get what they can't get in the real world.
Exactly, those damn incels.
Oh, boy.
And because of this description being so common amongst people who experience the shadow people, another name for them is the hat men, because they're usually wearing some kind of big hat.
I don't know why that's such a scary, like, title.
I don't know, but if you've seen pictures or artist depictions of them, it's pretty creepy looking, especially if they have the whole room in there and you just kind of see them in the corner of the room. Oh, my goodness.
My least favorite type of GIF on the internet are GIFs that try to explain sleep paralysis. Like, they're so, we, before this episode, like, I was to try to get myself into the spirit. I tried looking at one. And how long did I last, Nick, before I backed out?
I gave him like 5 seconds, I think. And then he's like, you know what? This is a bad idea. And he backed right out. I don't blame him.
Yep. Well, there's this one where it's just like, it's an image of, it's like a POV, and all you see is just like the part where his legs are like under the cover. So you see like the little bumps. And it's just like the eyes close and they open, and suddenly there's just like a shadow in the doorway. The eyes close and then they open, and then the shadow's gone. The eyes close and then they open, and now there's hands on the edge of the bed. The eyes close and then they open, and now there's this thing with hollowed out eyes and these like really big sharp teeth, the crooked head. Eyes close and open, and it's gone.
Yeah. Imagine having to experience that all the time.
Fuck that! Fuck that!
Hell
no!
You guys needed to see this. He just scared himself describing it. I saw it in his eyes.
I think I almost fell out of my chair for a second there.
Oh, that was awesome.
Ugh. See, like I said, I love horror. I just hate what it does.
That's the best part about horror, man.
Oh, God, now I'm thinking about it. Whatever.
To be in your shoes again, Tasker, I am so desensitized to horror that it's like I watch it because I like it now. Like, I do because I just genuinely like it. But to be scared again, to be scared of like things that I watch and things that I see, man. Better times, buddy.
Did I do okay with the delivery?
Oh yeah. It was pretty creepy. You creeped me out a little bit, I'll be honest. So.
Oh shit. Okay, cool. See, like I said, I like it. I enjoy it, and I love telling scary stories. The problem is I scare myself, and that makes me a terrible horror storyteller.
Nah, you did good. You did good.
Thanks.
So many, many people who experience sleep paralysis report seeing these shadow people during their paralysis. And the shadow people are known to be very, very malevolent, usually choking people, sitting on them so they can hardly breathe, and generally terrorizing them. Sometimes they will stand in the corner of your room staring at you while you can't move, and then they will slowly approach you over time. But all you can do is sit there and watch. And then when they get to you, that's when the people say that they either sit on them or choke them.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The next possible supernatural cause of sleep paralysis is something that we have discussed at length in an earlier steamy episode of Close Encounters. And that is, of course, the incubi and succubi.
Oh, we're getting to the good shit. After all that spook, we need a little something, something.
We need to break that sexual tension. So some experiencers of sleep paralysis report sexual assault. Okay, I said that too cheerily. Let me retry that.
Seemed a little too happy to talk about it, huh?
All right, let me put my acting chops on. Let me redo that. Some experiencers of sleep paralysis report sexual assault by the being they see during their paralysis. And a lot of the time, the female victims report being assaulted by some kind of male figure or demon, and the male victims report being assaulted by a female figure or demon, but it's not always the case. Sometimes there is same-sex attacks.
Interesting.
And given everything we learned in our Incubi and Succubi episode, the comparison between those demons and what some of these victims of sleep paralysis are experiencing is clearly uncanny. Remember, they assault you in your sleep, and that's exactly what is happening to these people during sleep paralysis. And there have been reports of sleep paralysis victims saying that they were actually assaulted by whatever they saw sexually. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Could be an incubus and succubus.
Well, except there was this one case where it's like they were saying the demon, you know, started like, you know, reaching down there. And the woman was just like, you know what? Actually, this sounds kind of neat. Like, and just let it happen. So she's like, yeah, now sleep paralysis is kind of fun for me.
Huh. See, it's all about, look, it's all about the perspective. All right. If you're freaked out, don't be freaked out by it. Consider it a card. All right. Look, I'm not a macho dude. You know, I'm not a dude who, I'm not like a frat boy. So I'm not like one to talk about what are those things called, Tasker? The sex cards where you like do different things and you get like a card, like an imaginary card, you know?
Like achievements?
Kind of like achievements, like sexual achievements that frat boys talk about.
Milestones.
Consider having sex with a demon that's haunting you, trying to scare you. Consider seducing them instead of them trying to have sex with you, and consider that an achievement. And I'd say you're doing pretty well.
Oh my God. Just imagine. I'm just picturing like frat boys, like opening up like some dude's room. They're like, bro. And this dude's just like sitting there, just like, yeah, there's this like bewildered demon just like sitting next to him. Just like, what have I done? Yeah, point of view and perspective is everything, folks.
Exactly. All right. So another explanation for sleep paralysis, and this is the one that we mentioned a little earlier, could be astral projection, which pretty much nullifies Tasker's explanation about the out-of-body experiences, in my opinion.
All right.
So astral projection is the ability to release your spiritual self from the body and into a different realm, the spirit realm, which is all around us. It's basically another one of those dimensions that we keep talking about on this podcast. So people have the ability to practice and hone astral projection, as you may know, but there are plenty of people out there who have an innate ability to do this without knowing it. And this is where the sleep paralysis comes in. You see, if your body and soul can astral project, but you have no clue that you can do it, it might slip up when you're trying to sleep and you'll project without knowing what is happening. Because like you don't know what astral projection is. You've never practiced it before, but you have the ability to do it and it's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, because I feel like the astral projection out of body experience is one of the lesser talked about forms of sleep paralysis. I also did hear stories of people like looking and seeing just their own body being there, but like, sometimes astral projection can be like a interesting and enlightening experience. Whereas I think when it goes hand in hand with sleep paralysis is where it becomes a frightening and terrifying, like I can't get back in kind of experience.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to talk about. So since you have no clue what's happening, your mind and your soul technically is not ready to do this and it will not work properly. So basically what's going to happen is you're going to freeze in place. But the horrifying part of this is that your consciousness is technically in the spiritual realm at the time. And since you're not having a groovy time, and since you don't know what's going on because you don't know what astral projection is, you're opening up your mind and soul to seeing the negative things in the spiritual realm, including these malevolent beings that reside within it.
Ah, so you're just lacking discipline and training.
Exactly. Astral projection is difficult. I have tried before, not very religiously, so that's probably why I never succeeded. But from people I can do it, I've heard it's very difficult. And it's also, you got to know what you're doing if you don't want to have a bad time. It's like doing drugs.
Right.
Okay. You got to be in the right mood. You got to be in the right zone to have a positive experience when astral projecting. If you're not, and if you don't know what astral projection is and you're like frozen and you're basically having sleep paralysis, you're going to be having a really bad time, and that's going to open up all kinds of shit in the spiritual realm that you don't want to see. And Unfortunately, you're going to have to, because you don't know how to get back into your body. So
So if you're, because I know astral projection, that's a big like spirituality thing, and that's been around for forever with like a lot of like spiritual leaders, meditation, blah, 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 blah. So when you are controlled and able to astral project, it's a sort of like I said, it can be a very like enlightening and great experience. But if you don't know how to leave and return to your body, that's where things get scary. And when things get scary, as it does with like hallucinogenic drugs, that's when your body and your consciousness starts to panic, basically giving an okay for all kinds of evil, wacky stuff to happen.
Precisely. That's exactly the theory behind that. That's exactly it, man. It's pretty creepy.
That is very creepy. It is very creepy.
And lastly, the belief that I personally hold about sleep paralysis, the one that we're all here for. Pause for dramatic effect. Aliens.
Yeah.
Yep. It's happening.
Well, we already established that sleep paralysis is an explanation for aliens, not the other way around.
You established that. So that's where we're at with that.
Just making sure you're awake.
There are many commonalities between sleep paralysis and reported events during extraterrestrial abductions, which Tasker will use in defense of sleep paralysis and from a scientific standpoint, and which I will use in defense of an extraterrestrial standpoint.
All right, let's hear it.
So, in fact, the general experience that alien abductees and sleep paralysis victims have are strikingly similar. For instance, abductees often talk about waking up in the middle of the night, not being able to move, and there are mysterious beings in the room with them who either take them somewhere else to probe and do things too sexually, or just do it right there in their beds.
Oof.
And this is so similar to the experiences throughout sleep paralysis that a comparison has to be made. Now, we as a society are being paralyzed, probed, and bred, and everyone is just blaming sleep science and using rational thought. Oh, there's no way that aliens could be coming into your bedrooms and fucking you and taking sperm samples and choking you just to see what'll happen because you're like technically just like a lab rat to them. No, it's because of some dumb things happening in your brain because our human brains are dumb and we're just a bunch of monkeys who decided to make things called beds to sleep in.
You know what? You know what this is? This is a classic example of, oh, it doesn't make sense to me, therefore it must be aliens. Oh, this is something in the realm of theoretical science, so therefore it must be supernatural. Oh, people didn't understand how the planet worked, and that's why fucking we invented the Greek gods and goddesses, and then science figured it out, and now generally those are known to be mythology. We're studying it.
Okay, first let me rebuttal the whole gods and goddesses thing.
Okay.
So you're telling me.
Yeah.
These spiritually enlightened people from the past who created pantheons. Well, I shouldn't say created. They observed, right? They observed things happening in the world, right? Some of them knew that this wasn't just an act of the world, but it was an act of an otherworldly being or something like that, right? So, in that case, when science starts walking along and is like, oh, that's not a god. That's this. That's photosynthesis. That's fucking the tides. That's blah, blah, blah. All this dumb stuff that they started trying to explain. What if they're just explaining the actions that are still being caused by gods and goddesses or aliens?
Well, and that's the beauty of science is that it continues on forever. Like we can't, it's quite literally impossible to explain infinity because it's infinity, but hell, that's not going to stop you from trying. So why keep living in the dark and doing stuff like science is not sexy up until it fucking cured polio, you know?
I don't want to be that guy. All right. I don't want to that guy who defends polio, but look, there are diseases in this world that are meant to take out the weaker people. And technically that's what they're supposed to do. Right?
Is that what Corona is?
Maybe. But look,
because you think it's a bioweapon. That's what you
look. I do think it's a bioweapon. But if it was a natural virus that came from a wet market in China, All right. Because people decided that eating bats was better than going to fucking McDonald's. Thanks, by the way. Then, okay, I'm not going to defend polio. Look, we're getting off topic. I'm just saying that, look, maybe it had to happen. I don't know. And the fact that we had, the fact that we cured it is these scientists are curing these diseases so we can all live longer. Our population's exploding. We're not going to have food for people pretty soon. I'm thinking Thanos had some pretty good ideas, dude. I'm thinking we have to just snap and get like half the people gone. I don't know. It's free. Okay, but let's move on. All right. All I'm saying is that I don't trust scientists because you said it yourself. Science keeps going. It never really proves anything. I don't have proof.
So you're saying some haphazard slapped together uneducated explanation is more trustworthy, especially when making a dramatic decision such as having Earth's entire population. But your sources, trust me, bro.
Actually, yeah. Because look, my third eye's open. I doubt the scientists are. All right. The scientists, like I said earlier, they're getting paid. They're getting funded to do these things and they're getting money. And as long as they're getting money, it's just like in the nutrition industry, man. Look, okay. I'm starting to get mad at the scientists. Those fucking nerds, dude. Like your brother. Your brother's a traitor to society, right? He went to school for astrophysics, right?
I think it might have been a more general physics, but that was definitely his like interest.
Okay. That's why. Like, dude, he is going to doom the Earth. He's going to work for NASA. NASA, dude, is run by the Russians. All right.
I don't think that's the case.
It's true. NASA is run by the, look.
Then why'd they put the American flag on the moon?
It's all a show. Literally all of it is a show. So the second that you start believing all this, look, America, hell yeah, our flag's up on the moon over there, is the second you have fallen for the scientist trap, closing your third eye, telling you aliens aren't real, trying to blame alien abductions on something called sleep paralysis, which is due to like sleep cycles. There's no such thing as sleep cycles. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. When you're asleep, you're asleep. And when you're awake, you're awake. It's simple. It's simple. There's not these different cycles. Your body doesn't have like a clock inside of it that's like, okay, it's been an hour and 30 minutes. I am now going to switch to a non rapid eye movement cycle now. And you're like, oh, boom, I switched over. No, there's no way, dude. Scientists are telling you it's true. That's because they don't want you to know that little gray aliens are probing your butthole, because that's their job. The government's also working with the grays, so it makes sense that they're going to be just fucking in cahoots together.
So sleep paralysis happens to 1 in 10 of humans. That's a fucking lot. You're meaning to say that gray aliens have mobilized enough force out there to sleep paralyze 1 in 10 Americans, which... I'm not even Americans, humans in general. I'm sorry, I've been watching a lot of debates in politics lately, but like, that's completely absurd.
It's not absurd. And it's not just the grays. That's the thing. It's multiple. Dude, there are multiple species of aliens out there who are taking advantage of us as dumb monkeys.
And what does that do for them? They just scare us and then they just laugh and jerk each other off afterwards with their dick pockets.
We've talked about this stuff before, dude. There's multiple reasons. One of them being scientific discovery. Because technically, too, dude, you and I, yes, we are speaking a language right now, but compared to extraterrestrial beings looking at us, we are lab rats. We are dumb animals who communicate very... primitively, we are primitive and we are being tested on. Also, for some reason, they like our resilience, so they use us to breed with, specifically the grays. They really dig that. So they're getting cum samples from us all the time. And the reptilians, they're already here, but there's also other reptilians. There's indigenous reptilians, and then there's the Dracos that are out there, and the Dracos come here and get us as like, okay.
This is dumb. This is dumb.
No, it's true.
Now you're just raving like a complete lunatic.
Oh, what do you want me to say? I'm trying to defend myself here. When you start coming at me with your goddamn white lab coat science and your funded NASA programs and your funded sleep study programs, why would you study sleep? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They're doing it to put on a show. All right?
Truth is generally stranger than fiction. But the shit you're saying is so fucking absurd. There's just no fucking way that could be happening.
I believe that what I'm saying is 100% true. And there are thousands of people out there who would say the same thing. They know what they saw when they were having their quote unquote sleep paralysis. They know what they saw, right? And no, it wasn't, guess what? It wasn't a hallucination. Can a hallucination choke you out in the middle of the night and slap you around? No. Can a hallucination jerk you off and put your into a fucking a vial? No. But that's happening to them.
Right. Now, if you want my rebuttal, listener, just rewind about 45 minutes back. And yeah, you'll find that you'll have all the points that you'll need.
Okay, I will admit I'm getting frustrated, all right? But it's very frustrating to be somebody who knows the truth and everybody just thinks you're fucking crazy. It doesn't, like, it's like I can only protect so many people by saying what I'm saying, but you just come over here with your fucking glasses and your, like, in your lab coat and your scientist brother, and you're just like, oh no, it's definitely a sleep study, and it's all about sleep science and your REM. I'm like, what does a band have to do with any of this shit? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that sounds like a large burden that you have to carry on the regular.
Okay. I'm going to end my argument there. Everybody knows where I stand. Everybody knows where Tasker stands. And this is just going to only get more heated. I'm going to keep going in circles because I have to defend myself. I have to defend the truth, right? There are listeners out there who believe me, and there are listeners out there who believe you.
Right.
Unfortunately, only half of us will make the cut when they all start invading everybody and not just these people experiencing sleep paralysis, which, by the way, the paralysis part is just from, dude, these beings are so advanced that they have many ways to paralyze us. It's very common in alien abduction stories of being paralyzed in bed. Coincidence, dude? I think not. That is just the fucking craziest. If it's a coincidence, it's the craziest coincidence I've ever heard of.
I think it's not a crazy coincidence at all. I think it's more coincidental that the aliens are doing a lot of stuff that lines up with actual documented human behavior and disorders.
Again, you're saying disorders, right? You're saying documented. What does that mean? What do you mean by documented? I have to trust some rube in a white lab coat writing in his personal journals and take it as scripture that this is actually happening?
You're doing the same thing. Except
then what's the difference? So why don't you
believe? Because they're researching and they actually have science. They actually have labs. They actually have funding to look into this shit. Because there's actually a...
You just said the magic word, funding, huh? Interesting. Very, very interesting.
There's a benefit to them to using funding. There's a benefit to them to using it to get somewhere. If you get the funding and you don't come up with anything, guess what? You're out of work. You no longer are a cool scientist and you no longer have a job. They need to provide results to stay hired.
Exactly. You just said it for me. They need to provide results and they will do anything it takes to keep their job and get funded, right? So if they put out false information, guess what? They have their job. Doesn't matter what the information is that comes out. They still have a job and they still have their funding. Like you just said, they need to put out information. And you know what? You're putting scientists up on this pedestal like they can do no wrong and they're the ultimate moral guide and they'll never lie to the public. They'd never lie to the public with their big laboratories. They probably just fuck each other in those laboratories. They don't do anything in there. I do more research than scientists do and I don't have a degree.
Okay, so you're basically you're assuming that every scientist and every lab is under the same situation like they did with that whole argument of vaccines causing autism, where a literal group a physician was paid off by politicians to establish fake documentation saying that vaccines caused autism. Now that claim was almost instantly rebuked, and they had instant fallout because of it. But that was the point, though, is the politician didn't give a shit about the ruining this man's reputation. He was more concerned about getting people scared. And by seeing an official scientist's name giving out information that is false, it did its job. But that's the thing is though, that was very quickly debunked, because the scientists, it's not just one scientist coming up with stuff. It's a community of scientists constantly guessing and checking each other. Because if you prove that other guy wrong, that's another benefit to you, which is a benefit to science, because we can get closer to the real thing. Because if you get the real thing, you actually become a superstar.
It's all well and good, but they're all taking bribes from politicians for information. And do you think the government would really let them say the truth about what is causing sleep paralysis when people know that it's alien abductions? And they're like, oh, but you know what? We can't say that because we can't let everybody in the world know that we're in cahoots with 12 different species of aliens harvesting people's testicles and like babies and stuff. And they can't tell us that. So they're going to have the scientists obviously tell the public that sleep paralysis is caused by sleep cycles that don't exist. I've never seen a sleep cycle. You can't prove to me that sleep cycles exist. I'm just saying. Oh, that's weird. I've never once been asleep and been like, oh, time to switch to REM. That's never happened to me before. Do you think you have to prove it to me in order. It's like the flat earth theory. It's until the day comes where I can see for myself that there's a globe under my feet.
Are you fucking kidding me? You are saying to me that a liver does not do its job of filtering alcohol out of your system because you don't see it. That the heart is the only thing that exists because you feel it beating. But that also, for all we know, might be a fucking alien diesel engine.
Yeah, I can't see it. Therefore, I can't believe it. Look, you...
That's the complete opposite of your point.
It is not. Because, look, you believe scientists, but you won't believe me because I can't prove it, right? But you think the scientists have proved it, but they haven't. But it's the same thing for me. They can't prove to me all this stuff physically.
So yes, they can.
I refuse to believe them.
Yeah, most of it, sleep cycle. Okay, we're just walking in circles now. We are literally walking in circles. So can we take an official CEO TPK bona fide agree to disagree token?
Fine. All right. I agree to disagree. I want everybody out there to know that I believed every word I said except for the earth is flat thing. that's something that that's almost too crazy for Nick. So,
which is impressive.
Thank you. Yes. So it was a very frustrating conversation. All right, Tasker.
Yeah, it is. It is incredibly frustrating. I almost knocked over my mic.
You did. Okay, that was tense. That was very tense what we just went through. And I knew it was going to be tense. So I threw something in the outline for us to kind of like chill out a little bit for the end of the episode, okay?
It's good we talked about it too. I feel like that shit's kind of been building up for a while.
It has been, dude. Ever since your brother decided to go and get a science degree, I've had nothing but resentment towards your family.
Yeah, and it's just going to get worse over time. I can almost guarantee it.
All right, so to wrap up the episode and to kind of get over all the anger that Tasker and I just built up towards each other, right? Mm-hmm.
A lot of animosity.
A lot of it. We are going to turn to the good folks on Yahoo Answers and see what they're talking about when it comes to sleep paralysis.
Always a good way to figure out really what the people think.
This is, you know what, Tasker and I can argue about what's really going on as much as we want, but we don't really know for sure until we ask these idiots on Yahoo Answers. So,
the same website that brought you the spider have puss puss.
The spider have puss puss. Oh, I forgot about that. If you guys don't know what that is, just go on incognito and ask if a spider has puss puss. You'll find out.
It's you'll find a widespread of answers, but anyways.
Okay, well, the first one, question by question mark, sleep paralysis experience scary, help please question mark.
Great start.
It all started when I was a kid, when I was around 8 years old. I'm 17 now. It's usually a dream at the start. It turns out to be a nightmare in reality. Next, I wake up. I can't move, can't see. All I feel is a presence or something touching me. I feel a tingling sensation close to my legs and hear something weird noises. This grammar is great.
Keep in mind, we're doing this verbatim, exactly as it's written. Yeah.
I try screaming, but I can't. I also feel as if I'm getting lifted up and everything feels like it's spinning. This is the first day. The next part is worst.
I bet it is.
But one day, while having another sleeping paralysis experience, the same exact thing happened to me for a second. But the weird thing is, I saw my body from a bird's eye view. I saw me laying in a bed, my room, everything was exactly like it was supposed to be. I was scared and everything was still spinning. I stayed there for a bit, then all of a sudden, I gradually got closer to my body, then woke up. I was so scared after that. In another incident, I actually got to the state where I can slightly open my eyes and move my hands while I'm having the sleep paralysis. The sleep paralysis.
A sleep paralysis.
Also, this sleep paralysis thing or whatever, but they did the W/E. Fucking
gotta abbreviate.
It happens to me once or twice a month. Can anyone help me out? It was really scary experience. Jesus.
Wow.
Do you want to read the answer?
Okay, yes.
Answer by username Truth Seeker.
I think it is a higher experience than a sleep paralysis. You are an advanced fellow, you believe it or not. In spirituality, what you have seen is through your astral body. It is just like the death experience. To see your own body separate from you is really great. I have also that. I think all your experiences are connected to that. I am not sure, for I don't get more data. Thank you. May God bless you.
A robot wrote that.
I know. It's like what you do when you have like a, you speak into the microphone and it just like assumes what you're saying and types it out for you and just fucks it up.
Dude, he tried doing that with Siri and she just totally fucked it up.
God, I fucking hate Siri. I'd never use her.
Yeah.
Except on cars, which is, as you've noted to me, it's very obvious when I use Siri.
No, I mean, actually, I saw that you used it today to text me back and it seemed perfectly fine. Maybe I think she's getting better.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, remember iOS 14, it just updated. So yeah, it's getting better at the cost of now everything on my phone is slow.
That's a good point. Yes.
Fucking Apple.
That's how they get you.
True.
Next one. Question by Egyptian Musk. Atheists, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis? Answer. Oh. You want to do the answer?
Yeah.
Sure. Do the answer. This one's good.
Answer by username Stacy Smith. Yes, but I noticed I have them more if I sleep in a dark room and I'm really stressed. If this question is by a believer in God, I love that Satan possessed me in my sleep, slappy face.
That's so weird, dude. And that wasn't an exaggeration. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ha-ha's in there. So
I love the little laughing face she puts at the end of it, too. It's like, you're not really sure if she's serious or not.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
All right. Another one. A question by Catherine. Good old Catherine.
Good old Catherine.
Sleep paralysis become really scary? Dude, it's like these people are 5.
They might be.
I only seem to get it in the morning, in that stage between sleeping and waking up where I drift in and out. It used to be really normal where my body would just lock up and I couldn't move. However, this time, I felt the electric shocks going through my body, and it was like 100 people grabbed me and pulled me under the sheets. I also sometimes feel like I'm having a seizure.
Well, you might have answered your own question.
Dumb. I don't hallucinate yet, which is good, but I always go into a really scary dream. It's only really started happening after I've tried to lucid dream. What can I do to fix this?
Oh boy.
And here's a great answer for you guys. By Trekkie706.
In a word, cry out to God for your salvation. Satan is attacking you, and unless you repent of your sins and accept God's Son Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it will continue to happen. God loves you intensely, and great things in store for you, which will happen this generation.
That's a wide window.
We are in the last days. Don't drag your feet. All hell is about to break out. Things that only God knows about and can see. He tells his prophets and watchmen. Some things he tells me,
Jesus is cool. He visited me in a dream. He visited me in a dream in 1981 and smiled at me. Love flowed out from him. It was intense. I also felt a more intense love when I was awake when in church. Singing a praise song, he got me the job that I will be with for one year next month. I'm making pretty decent money too. He has changed me into a better, more peaceful person. Time is short. Read John 3:16-18.
Holy shit, dude. There's one dislike on that comment.
I love how he has to drop that he's making good money. Like, good on him, man. Good on him.
Jesus is cool. he's talking all this fire and brimstone, and then he throws that in there like he's a fucking youth pastor.
Now, that could be a t-shirt moment for us.
Oh, my God. That was great.
I'm glad we're doing this section.
And our final question about sleep paralysis from the depths of Yahoo Answers is by X.
Mysterious.
Very mysterious. And this question is mysterious too. Autism plus sleep paralysis?
I thought you said like autism plus, like it's a premier version of it.
Well, I think if you have autism and sleep paralysis, that is a premier version.
One could say.
That's hard. Right. That's hard mode.
Yeah, that sucks. Okay.
My friend sent me a link to an autism test and I scored 40 and the highest score was 50. So they think I should do something about that.
That's what we're afraid of.
That's exactly what we're afraid of, to be in this guy's shoes. And then I told my friend about these sleep paralysis dreams that are becoming more and more common. They happen almost every night. He says I should see a therapist/doctor, but what should I do? Who am I supposed to see about this stuff anyways, a doctor or a therapist?
To which Frank replies, for sleep paralysis, you should see a doctor.
He doesn't even touch on the autism thing.
So avoidant.
Oh, man, that poor soul.
Yeah. Wow. That was a roller coaster. This was a roller coaster of an episode.
That was a long roller coaster of an episode. That was a fun one. But that's it, guys. That's it for sleep paralysis. You know, hopefully it wasn't too spooky. We tried throwing in little bits here and there for you. But, you know, look, all I'm going to say is follow our instructions that we put in the episode, right, to prevent it. To make sure you don't get it, because if you guys are listening to this at night right now in bed, I don't want you to open your eyes from listening to the podcast when it's over and there's like a demon standing right above you like licking his lips. So
And if you're trying to sleep to this podcast and you've been awake till this point right now, man, I guess our podcast does not really help with sleep, huh?
I don't think so. I think it's because we yell a lot and we're just like a lot of loud noises and they're like, what the fuck was that? And they're just like,
wake them up more than we lull them out.
Yeah.
So I do got to point out too, if you listen to this episode and you're like, that wasn't scary, that was dumb, My cousin Mikey had a much scarier story. Send it to us.
Yep.
Send us your scary stories. We have a listener episode coming up where you can share your stories. If there was something that you felt wasn't really touched on in this episode and you have a better, more creepier thing, send it to us. We'll read it.
If you have had a sleep paralysis experience and you're comfortable sharing it with us, please do so. If you want us to read it on our what we'll call Halloween Palooza campfire cummy bot episode coming October 28th on Wednesday. So if you got a sleep paralysis story, send it our way if you're comfortable with it.
You don't even have to put your name on it. It can be anonymous. Like, just feel free. We want to make sure it's an open environment for you.
Yeah, and if you want to hear us giggle, use a dumb pen name and we'll laugh at it probably.
Yeah, and we also of course have Discord too. If you don't want to reveal your email to us, just make up a pseudonym or whatever works for you.
Exactly. But before we end the episode with our plugs, I do need to give you guys an update about Count Chocula real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So I was at Walmart today, actually, because I was getting some stuff for the house, right?
And this is out of California now, right?
Totally 100% out of California. I am 10 hours away from California on a drive, right? I was in Walmart getting stuff for the house today. I walked down one of the food aisles. Lo and behold, a whole ass shipper of Count Chocula, Boo Berry, and Frankenberry.
Now, and see, and this is what's funny, is because I a couple episodes ago, I remarked how I wasn't really taking it too seriously, but had a change of heart and started to really focus. I haven't seen any of these boxes anywhere, and I'm looking for them. Like, I was, shopping with, I was going to the grocery store with my girlfriend, and I told her, you let me know if you see it, because I need to make sure to report back to Nick. And so I even have an additional witness with me to say that, like, no, we've been looking for it. We ain't seen shit. It's only you, man.
It's freaking me out. Dude, I'm having people message us saying that they haven't seen it either. I have yet to have a person message us saying that they have seen it. Mm-hmm. So it's honestly like, it's freaking me out a little bit, because no matter what fucking state I'm in, apparently I'm the one that sees the Count Chocula. They're on to me, dude. I have a conspiracy right now. Okay, so long story short, I just got internet in my house yesterday morning, right? I just moved in, got internet. The internet guy came to set up my internet. He has a wire going from the side of my house to this thing out in the street. It's a fiber optic cable for the internet, but he can't bury it.
Right.
He said he couldn't bury it because there were some rocks in the way, and that a special request has to be put in for the burial. I seriously think that Count Chocula and his representatives are going to bug it before they bury it. And that's what the special request is for. At this point, I'm freaking
out. Yeah. Also, too, who knows? Do they mean bury the fiber optic wire or something else?
Oh, shit. He didn't specify. Oh, my God. Am I next? Am I on the list?
Don't fall asleep on your back, man, because Chocula himself may be paying you a visit in the form of sleep paralysis, because he seems like the type of guy that would do that.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that, dude. I just thought they were going to bug my internet, but this could be a lot worse. Oh, shit. And they said it could happen within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. Oh, who knows? God. This conversation may have just saved your life, man.
Holy shit. Okay. So that's okay. Look, that's my update. I'm kind of freaking out. I need you guys to be vigilant. All of you, please. Report to me, at least one of you, let me know that you've seen Count Chocula in the stores, because so far, apparently I'm the only fucking human on earth that has seen it, and it's freaking me out, okay?
Yep, I've seen it zero. So, yep, if you got proof, send it our way. We'd love to see and help to kind of connect all the dots in this mysterious case that's been plaguing us since we dipped our toes a little too deep into it. But that being said, thank you so much for listening to this lot longer than usual episode, huh?
It was a long one. It was a good one. I liked it. I like the subject matter. I like all the different possibilities. I'm very intrigued by sleep paralysis. So, thank you for coming along on that roller coaster with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, if you guys have any naysaying or any sort of like, well, you guys failed to cover blank, 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 let us know. We got a couple avenues open for you guys. So if you did enjoy this episode, we would love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and possibly a review on iTunes. Just help us get a little bit more up on those charts. Spotify, you can give us a follow. We do have new episodes every Wednesday, which we've been sticking to. Instagram at CEOTPK. YouTube now, Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. Got a little bit more of a fancier logo over there and stuff, because we put a little bit more effort into it. Twitter is at CEOTPK1. Facebook, Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. That's where we usually post our episode updates and sound bites and stuff. You can email us at CEOTPK1@gmail.com. Discord is discord.gg/lowercase b, 6T, 5M X. Turns out we can't edit our Facebook pin post because we spent money to advertise it, so we can't edit it anymore. So we will probably have to make a new one.
Yep, that's the game plan.
Yep. If you do feel the need to donate to us in any way, shape, or form, we do have a Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/CEOTPK. Completely optional. Don't feel obligated to do so. It's just great that you made it this far in the episode to hear me even say that.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. I know I get more and more sentimental as the episodes go along, and I'm cutting that off right now. I'm going to say not thank you, all right, for listening. Good. I don't know. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate you guys, honestly.
Yeah, it's been fun talking to some of y'all who have been hopping in the Discord lately and posting stuff. That's always been really cool. As you know, Nick works full time. I am a freelancer, so we're kind of all over the place. So if it usually late at night, that's usually when I reply most, and early in the morning is usually when Nick replies. But yeah, no, it's cool.
Yeah, we like talking to you guys. We like hearing your experiences. So thank you for reaching out. Honestly, that's why we do this. We do these episodes because we like to reach out to people who have similar interests. And we're just glad that some people are listening and actually liking what we're saying. So thanks.
Thank you, guys. And we'll be back again next week with more spooky spooks for the month of October. Woo!
All right, guys. So look, whether you think that your brain is actually going through different sleep cycles at night, like a plebe, or you're being abducted by an alien and probed, just remember that the truth is somewhere out there.
I mean, it's just, the argument's pretty simple here. I mean, sleep is nothing new. It's been studied for centuries. I mean, it's kind of obvious it's not.
Oh.
He's just nut.
Yeah.
On air.
Yeah.